Hello there, friends. Andrea with the Bangs here, and this is a treat, I would say, this following interview. It's long, but it is worth it because the topic is it's very unexplored. I think we just really needed to cover a whole lot of ground with this first discussion. I haven't even said who I'm speaking with. I should probably do that right now. I speak with Mark Lefebvre about the intimacy crisis, and it's sort of something that stems from the meaning crisis, which actually I think Mark says he believes that it's really the intimacy crisis is from which the meaning crisis comes. So it is really, really interesting ideas that emerge out of this discussion. As I think I said earlier, it is long, but it is really worth it, you guys. I am excited to hear your comments and your thoughts on what we speak about. And I think that's all that needs to be said. Oh, actually, no. Please check out Mark's YouTube channel. It's called Navigating Patterns, and I will be sure to link it in the description below. All right, on to the main event. So, okay, we are discussing the intimacy crisis. Hello, Mark. First of all, this is my thing. I forget to introduce my guest, so I'm going to do it now. Hi, Mark. Thank you for coming onto my YouTube channel. Mark Lefebvre, everyone.
Thank you, Andrew. It's good to be here. This will be the first time that I'm going to do a formal talk about the intimacy crisis.
Yes.
And I thought it was only appropriate to do it with somebody not male because that seems relevant somehow. So
It
I'm
does.
excited that we get to do this.
Yes, okay, yes, I concur and I'm looking forward to it because it's actually rare that I do this. I didn't have to make any notes, and this is gonna sound like, maybe you should have. But no, I only leave it like a blank, my notebook blank if I'm confident. This is gonna be a big enough topic. I don't actually need to even write anything down because I know I have no concept. Sorry, that's not true. I have a small concept, and I am like, let's explore this open,
Right.
vast thing with you. And I know you have lots to say. So first of all, speaking of where to start, where I would can we start with, you're kind of drawing from what I'm guessing, the meaning crisis, and then you're going like, okay, let's hone it in and give constraints. Let's look at the intimacy crisis. So can you kind of explain for those who maybe aren't aware, or maybe are aware but don't have the name, of what meaning crisis is in our cultural context, and then we'll go over into the intimacy
Sure.
crisis.
Yeah, so I'm starting from the meaning crisis, right? I'm coming over from John Wervecki's work on, his 50-hour series, right, 50-part series on the meaning crisis. So I'm using a lot of his language and framework, and I'm working with Manuel and with Andre and with Michelle and with a bunch of people on the Discord server. And we're going over this meaning crisis thing, and my understanding of the meaning crisis, the way John frames it and the way other people have framed it, because there's lots of names for it. Some people are talking about the meta crisis. I think they are all meaning crisis results, we'll say, right? So they all stem from the meaning crisis. The meaning crisis is this loss of connection with something greater than yourself that gives you a reason or a purpose to do it, right? The goal. Why are we here? Why am I alive? Why am I going to work? Why do I care about people? Like, why should I participate in the world? That's a loss of meaning when you can't answer the questions of why am I participating, not just in the world, but like with the community, with a job, with whatever it is. And that loss of meaning, John uses the term religio, which is his short form definition, which at first I hated, and then I was like, oh, now I get it, right? It was connectedness. So I was like, oh, meaning is connectedness, right? It's the relationship between two things, or yourself and something else, yourself and someone else, yourself and a higher ideal. And
So
that's
if
what
I
we're
can,
missing.
in what we're missing. Okay, so because religion has all this baggage. So saying religio equals, not equals, but means like connectedness. So because I've heard people mention, oh, ancient cultures didn't have religion or religions. You know, and that's hard for a modern person to understand what that means. No, they had a pantheon of gods. What are you talking about? They had religions. No, it's a lot of deconstruction, and we're not going to do that here. It's too much, you know. But there's a lot of peeling back the layers of modernity to get to the all-encompassing of what actually, like, religion is, but it's not separate. It's part of the connectedness. So we'll go from the connectedness of religio, and you said there's a loss of this in the meaning crisis.
Right. That's roughly a very cheap summary of
no,
of
but
the
we
meaning
need
crisis.
To. No, you need to be able to use things for the sake of brevity.
Right. So. Right. And just to play off what you said, yeah. The term religion changed its conception, changed its meaning, if you will, in the 1530s, I think it was. Mm. And before that, nobody had a word for what we're pointing at when we say religion in modern times, because it was just the world,
mm-hmm.
right? It was just like, of course, purpose comes from religion for the ancients, because they mentioned it in all their writings. Like, they didn't expound upon it. They didn't say, like, well, this is how the religion, right? That was the realm of philosophy, but they always started with the religion. They started with the pagan belief, whatever that pagan belief was. And that's what flowered into the philosophy, we'll say, right?
Well,
or that's where the philosophy grew from.
Even like community culture blossoming even from that, we will make it to the intimacy crisis, I promise. But I just want to say this one thing. So I've heard that, you know, I think that the oldest archaeological site that they have unearthed is called Göbekli Tepe.
Yes.
And that's in, I think, Iran. And it's not really, or Syria. It's on the border between Iran. It's in Syria.
Somewhere in there. Syria,
like
Turkey, Iran.
Yeah. It's in a rough spot, archaeologically speaking, with regards to people being allowed to go in and like dig. So they have done digs, but then, you know, things happen, wars happen, but what they do think now is that it was a religious structure, and oldest 30,000 years, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy.
Well,
it's still the oldest.
It's the oldest.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy
out
of how old it is.
But the fact that what inspired human beings to construct something, it wasn't function. It wasn't, we would like large houses and space to live in for ourselves. No, it's that which is greater than ourselves that we were, you know, drawn into, like, we must reach the heavens. Let us construct. Let us be inspired to construct. Okay, so this is, makes sense. It makes sense to me.
Right.
Because I am a Christian lady, and that makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, that's
to my worldview.
It's a good way to think of it.
It confirms. Yeah. I'll add it to my confirmation bias as to why I'm right about my belief. But anyway.
No, I think that's correct, right? It's the aspirational aspect that comes first.
Right.
Right. And John Verveke talks about this, right? John Verveke talks about this aspirational aspect. So that's correct. But the distance between aspiration and action is quite large. And what is bridging that gap? Well, that, I think, is where intimacy lives.
Okay,
right? Intimacy is that. So I think what happened, roughly speaking, is that we had an intimacy crisis. We can go into the, into my idea of what the causes might be, but that's up to you. I'll let you guide that.
Okay.
But once it happens, however it happens, we lose a depth and width of connection with the things around us, whether that's people or whether that's you know, physical objects, or whether it's nature, or whether it's animals, or whether it's ourselves. Like, so we're losing the understanding of the connectedness. And one proximal cause might be the focus on individualism, where, well, I'm an individual, mm-hmm. and therefore Like when you state you're an individual, you're stating you don't have connections to other things. Like that's what that statement actually means in your head,
right,
whether you intend it to or not, right? Because there's a little psychology going on at the same time, right? And so that loss of understanding that there's, we'll say, an unconscious part of yourself and a conscious part of yourself, that loss of understanding that there's you and nature, like that's the climate. Right? That's where the climate problem comes from. The loss of connection with you and others. Well, now I need a community. Why? Because you want that connection to other people. But then if you don't understand what a community is, you can't build a community because community requires intimacy. And intimacy, I think the fundamental problem is intimacy requires a space for it to occur. Does that make sense?
What do you mean by space, like space metaphorically, like, but like what preconditions are there for this space? Like what creates, what did be create the space before?
So I would tentatively put out there that the thing that creates the space is the divine feminine.
Cause I'm like, space. I actually was thinking, like, this reminds me of my talk with Peugeot when he was talking about, I asked him about, I think Hestia, the goddess of the hearth, and just talking about the feminine in that, and yeah, the space, like the potential, that
yes.
potential. Yes. Okay.
Right. That's right. Right. The space that opens up is the space that holds unknown potential.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. So we are talking about feminine. That doesn't mean female. It can, but it, just to be clear, because we will be talking about male, female, men, women, probably, I'm guessing, but the feminine and masculine, those have a space here too. And okay, so from my latest musings, I have seen, things have been coming clear about the idea of what's happening now is the chaotic feminine, like the,
yes.
the devouring mother. I mean, we've seen that, but Leviathan, that's something that has been, I've been listening to the Lord of Spirits podcast and I want to call them church fathers, but they're not, they're priests, they're Orthodox priests, they're not church fathers. Anyways, they use like Leviathan is chaos, from the Bible, like that's listed in the Bible. Behemoth is tyrannical order, civilization, like, you know, Rome, like that kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So those are the two at odds, you know, the spirits of. And so I'm like, oh, in the West, that's what's happening. It's Behemoth is receding and Leviathan is coming up in the sense of, chaos, like chaos,
right.
Like there's not,
right.
Well, women can be strong by like doing walks of pride instead of walks of shame from one night stands, and oh no, like that actually such things are oppressive to women and we should, you know, there's, well, what is it, well, which narrative is
right.
it, it's multiple, you know, we can't decide because it's fracturing, so it's chaos,
right?
Anyway, so that's my
right.
little spiel there. So that in mind, so you, but that's why I'm like, oh, that's so funny. I was just thinking about the Leviathan, the chaos, but then you come here today and mention about, oh, it's the feminine that creates the space. So
right.
with what I just said in mind, like what, how does that affect what you're
yeah.
saying is needed?
Yeah. So let me give you a slightly different perspective on that whole thing.
Okay.
Right?
I know I kind of gave a lot. I just kind of threw it all out there.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. I can.
You can handle it. You're right.
Yeah. So Leviathan and Behemoth are chaos and order in Peterson's mapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you wanted to use a different mapping, or what you could say is these two are always present. They're always there. So what's the difference? The difference is, what are we paying attention to more?
Yeah.
Right? And so when you fail to pay attention to Leviathan, the space, when you fail to pay attention to potential as such. You're all material. You're not paying any attention to potential. Like, look, material things run the world. Behemoth runs the world. Behemoth has control of the world and therefore runs the world. And that is the world. That can't hold because space is still there. Potential still exists. But because you're not interfacing with it, because you're not managing it, because you're not paying attention to it, you're not dealing with it, the masculine energy, right, is the thing that goes into chaos,
right,
and revivifies the order. It refreshes Behemoth with new potential,
right,
with new possibility. And when you're not looking at that, when you don't have that relationship between the two, you're just ignoring Leviathan completely. There's no feminine energy, no feminine wild, no feminine potential. What happens is it's still there.
Yeah.
So it just blindsides you. And that was in the
live stream. Look at me.
Yeah, in the live stream though, right? And I pointed this out. What had happened was one of the BOM members was in there and she was saying, you know, women can just betray men and that's really hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Because I'm like, oh, okay, this is the thing that other people know about because that happened to me not too long ago. And I was like, what the hell happened to me? Like, what just happened? I don't understand. And you look at how this unfolds is that people aren't paying attention to these relationships. So first you get ghosting, right? And ghosting is, you know, mostly used in dating, right? Oh, guess what happened to ghosting? Ghosting's in the professional world.
What?
People, yes. And I thought it was just me, right? Because I always think everything's just me because I've got my problems and I don't know where the line are. So something weird happens to me that seems weird. I just go, oh, it's just me, right? It's just my quirks and people react to my quirks. No. So people are going to interviews. I talked to a few recruiters about this. People are getting all the way through the interviews, four interviews. They do 5-6 hours of their time. And they're doing all these interviews and talking to people. And then they're not getting contacted again at all. So the whole idea of professional courtesy is completely broken down in the computer industry, in some aspects of it anyway, where people aren't contacting people again. They're literally being ghosted, not in the dating scene, but in the professional world while looking for a job. And I was just like, what? What is that? What is that?
What is that then in relation to the intimacy crisis?
Well, that's the thing. Like the ghosting and the dating was due to the loss of intimacy and it's just spreading throughout the culture.
Okay. It's a symptom of a problem.
Right. So why is it acceptable to talk to somebody and dump, you know, hours of your time into a discussion with somebody to try to get to know them, presumably to date them or whatever, and then to literally just cut it off and stop talking to them altogether?
Yeah.
Why is that okay? Like,
well, why is it okay?
Right. Well, that's the loss of intimacy, right? That's the, well, the, you know, the connection's not important. It's just something we can throw away because really we can just date somebody else or really we can just find another candidate for this job or really this person we were talking to, we can just find somebody else to talk to. Like we can just swap the parts in and out. And so the connection doesn't matter.
It's almost like it's mechanical, like swap the parts in and out. So is this where that feminine space that you were describing being needed?
Yes.
It
needs to be paid attention to. It needs to be brought into awareness because otherwise we don't understand we're operating in this space because it can't be healthy for you to, you know, meet somebody, date them, you know, spend time with them, go on vacation with them, you know, whatever it is, right? And then for them to say, you know what, I'm good, and just cut you off. It can't be good for them. It's not good for the other person for sure, right? It's lies and betrayal and collapse, right, on one side. And on the other side, I mean, they've just cut themselves off and destroyed, in essence, a bunch of their past because their past was full of potential and wonder and future, you know, and who knows where that could have led. And they just go, you know what? And just one day, just bang, the guillotine is dropped. Right. The connection is completely severed overnight. And then it's like, well, what did you just do to your past? Because your past was full of all these things that could have manifested. And you said, you know what? I'm a no on that. And in the meantime, you wasted a bunch of your life.
Yes.
Maybe it's only months, but it's months, and in months, miracles can happen. So if it takes 8 months for a miracle to happen and you're cutting your relationships off at 4 months or 5 months, you're never getting to the miracle part. And maybe it takes the intimate connections for the future, you know, to manifest the way you want. But if you're too quick, or, you know, you're too individualistic, right? You don't want that connection, and that's the other side. That's the dangerous side. You make a connection with somebody, they can cut you off. And it's like,
yes.
Whoa,
yeah.
That's not cool. That hurts.
The person who cares the least about the relationship has the
right.
most power. I was just watching something. No. It was a tweet. Someone was like, why? Basically what you're just describing, like, why do people, the internet dating, apps dating, why is it the way it is? Why don't people, romance, what happened to romance, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And my answer is, oh, well, people who care the least have the most power, that have the least ability to be hurt, because like, oh, I didn't care anyway. Or yeah, no, I'm
right.
the one who leaves you first, all this. So that, all of this said, so we've kind of been, I feel like we've been skirting around it. So what led to the feminine space being neglected? What led to the intimacy crisis? I mean, you said in a big way, but like, can we go into some specifics? Like the purposelessness,
sure.
and the meaning crisis and all that, but.
Yeah. So I think there are a number of, you know, say, proximal overt causes, right? So things that are close and obvious,
mm-hmm,
is roughly
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying there, right? So I would say this focus on the idea of individualism,
yeah, right.
is a rejection of connection as such.
Right.
It's just, I stand apart from the world.
Right.
And that's not an option that's available to
no.
you. You can try to do it, right?
But
you
but
can't
stand apart
from the
world. It's like a framing of yourself, who you are, and
exactly.
identity, yeah.
Exactly. So that's one factor. The other factor is that flat out rejection. There's a rejection of the feminine space. No, we don't need to make the space. We can burn our bras and we can go in free love. So free love is the rejection of space. Like, it's like, no, there's no space. There's no value.
There's no constraints. You need to have constraints.
Femininity.
Yeah.
Well, right. And when there's no constraints, you can't value something with no constraints
because
you can't identify it. Right. And so it's this weird identity backflip that they're doing in some sense, right? So there's those factors,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's other factors. Like I take Peterson's point about the effect of the birth control pill pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're disrupting hormones, and that's, we'll say, dampening the effects, the normal cyclical effects of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So if men have, we'll say, a lower cycle set of effects, or maybe none, right, or maybe very little, and women have a higher cycle of effect, that contrast provides the ability to see. Like, contrast helps you to see. You can't see physically with your eyes without contrast. Your eyes are actually moving like this all the time, because if they don't, you don't see. You physically cannot recognize objects.
Oh.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You mean, like, in order
to
sort of focus, oh, well, your lens is, and your eyes are, it's moving without
move.
You even knowing.
Right. They move super fast, several times a second. Right.
Oh.
They actually move.
Huh.
Right. Yeah.
All
yeah.
this
to provide
flux and fire, whatever that philosophy quote is.
So contrast is important for us to have eyes to see, if you want to go,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Let's go biblical. I'll always go biblical on my channel.
I figured you would.
Yeah.
I'm qualified to go biblical, so you'll have to extend some Christian grace or something.
Always.
Good. So there's a contrast between the way men approach things and the way women approach things. And part of that is due to this natural cycle that we've disrupted,
mm-hmm.
right? We've definitely on purpose, deliberately disrupted. So I think there's something there, right? Because then women are less women, or less embodying the divine feminine,
mm-hmm.
and men are less seeing the divine feminine. And so,
oh, that's a good way of putting it. Because it almost doesn't seem right to be like, and men are abandoning their masculine, or like what? Like, they're not like not necessarily. It's a blindness.
Well, it's overweighting. It's overweighting masculinity, because the masculine signal is very flat compared to the feminine signal that's kind of all over the place. Right?
Well, explicit
So,
versus implicit, right? Like the explicit is,
right,
well,
right.
you can, it's explicit, it's there. Implicit is, takes a lot of filtering and interpreting, and it's
Well, it
harder to
comes up from
see.
underneath. Yeah, implicit comes from underneath. It's more emergence, and explicit is more emanation. It comes from above. So it's easier when you're looking up to see the explicit, right? So what's happening, in my opinion, is that the masculine knows there's something wrong, right? Right, men know there's something sort of wrong, and women know there's something sort of wrong, right? Because there's not enough contrast, so we're not able to see things, but they're still there. So now men are trying to enact some of that or more of that divine feminine than they would normally, right? And so that explains some of the acting out in terms of gender experimentation, we'll say, right? It's not, they're not experimenting with gender. That's just the materialist equivalent to experimenting with divine feminine or divine masculine. So when you're talking about gender, you could map that on, say, the other side to divine feminine and divine masculine archetype. It's like, oh, you're experimenting with trying to find the archetype because you don't see it in real life because the signal's not there. So it's a lowering of the signal.
It seems what you said about the feminine space, masculine blindness, we'll say, the receding of the feminine space. So in the again, I'm just doing a lot of assumptions, but I think this is correct. I'm not an expert, but in the past, feminine, like at the well, you know, I've heard like the uterine connections at the well, you know, uterine like yeah, just it's not colonies. It's like there was a name, there's an anthropological name for what happens with the community for women who come in, who are the new wives, who come into the community. The mother-in-law is the one who has all the power. You know, it's like you're all like, oh my, like, oh, I hope I have a son, because then eventually I will be the mother-in-law and get to be the head of the matriarch or whatever. So like, so I remember reading about this in like whatever anthropology class, and just about how, the subtleties of how, you know, it's really hard in the beginning when you're the new one, but eventually, you know, because of the social structure, the mother-in-law eventually sort of like pulls back, you know, all these different, it was just explaining about what happens in these feminine groups in, I think it was in Middle Eastern cultures, but it in traditional cultures, and in, well, I mean, eventually, we had traditional cultures back, you know, before the New World was discovered. So in traditional cultures, there's like groups, women have groups. You know, they would child rearing together, they would weave together, they would like gather water, they would do back down to the hunter gatherer, they would gather, you know, whatever. And they were really, really complex, like to the point where like women can read facial changes better than men. It's like, oh, are you annoyed with me? Because it's very important for me to know if you're annoyed with me. You know, both for men and women. Like for men, like you don't want your husband or whatever equip partner for back then to be like, I am so mad, I'm gonna like strike the baby. You know, like you know, so that, and then like, oh, like is so and so mad at me because she's like ahead of me in the hierarchy, and if she's upset, then I could be outcast over and whatever. All these reasons why you need to know what's going on socially, and like you have such a tight group, and but also helps. It's not all about like, oh, gotta protect yourself, but you have to be able to understand what's going on in a group, and you're connected, and lots of connections. Like men have a brotherhood of like, oh, we go out hunting together and we need to be able to trust each other. Like that's its own male brotherhood fraternity sort of situation.
But it's not, that's not based around emotional connection.
No,
That's
it's like
based
a it's a
around
task connection in a
activity.
way, right?
What's act based around activity.
Right,
We go hunting.
yeah.
So when men talk about their friendships, oh, that's the guy I go hunting with. Oh, that's the guy I do martial arts with. Oh, that's the guy I work with,
Right. Yes.
right?
No, but women, it's
Women
all
make,
relational all the time,
but they
always.
keep, but women make completely different connections, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the person I rely on for this, right? Which is not a thing. It's usually an emotional support, or like, oh, well, when I need to know what book to read, I go to this person. It's like, oh, okay. When I need to know what TV show, I go to this
Or
person,
I have a
right?
hard time. I had a hard time
When
today.
I'm having a hard time,
Can
I
you
go to
give me
this person,
support?
right?
So and so, yeah.
When I need child rearing advice, right? It's not task specific, because those things don't have one. Like, you don't read one type of book. Like, if you always read fiction, that would be equivalent of going hunting with your buddy.
Right.
But you don't always read fiction, right? So, right, or if you always read romance novels, right, you would just ask your book person for a book, and they
Yeah.
would, maybe
Right,
narrow it
right,
down
right.
for you. But men are just, no, this is the guy I go hunting with. And
Right.
maybe we do multiple things with one or two people, but generally, no. It's like this guy,
This is
this thing.
describing my husband's time out. Sorry, time out. No, time out, literally. Oh yeah, we played video games. We
Right.
chatted. Yeah, we actually did talk about blank. It is there, but it's what did we do? But for me, it's we don't we meet at a coffee shop. That's the point. Like, we meet to talk. That's the end.
You
There's
meet
no
to
thing.
create the space, right? Women meet
Right.
to create the space. Men create the space by having an excuse of doing a thing,
Right.
and the space is, and then they're in the same place. So they don't create the space, they go to the
I feel
space
like it's
that already
alongside.
exists.
Like there's a sort of focus on the eyes, like because like we're looking for where I'm acting like I'm this like, cultural anthropologist. I'm not. But it just looking at modern, like acting it out, looking at eyes being focused, your aim, your like side, peripheral, like, oh, the guy's there, yeah. But for women, it's eye contact, face to face. Connecting, reading the face, whatever. So that's
Well,
all
and women
there.
and women are reading the other women and the men,
Yes, both. Yes.
and men are not. Men are going, well, I need to worry about the task at hand. And because men are going into chaos, into potential, and dragging things back and going, hey, hon, is this useful? Like,
Right.
well, I don't know,
Yeah.
right? And that's, so they may build the house, right?
Yeah.
So the masculine archetype may build the house, but it's the feminine archetype that makes it a home.
Yes. 100%. Okay, so I'm kind of getting lost on talking about the archetypes of male and female, but so bringing it back to what's going wrong. Or what's missing, and or what the missing of the connection, and
Well,
so
so
what yeah so what so we've already had these so what we just went over, that's always so this sort of like, oh, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, this has always been like, oh, a sort of the difference between men and women, so that's always
yeah.
been, but now there's this new these many layers that have been put on top of that,
Well, I don't think so. I think
or
what's more
removed?
happened
Are
is
layers removed? Is that it?
we're squishing things,
Okay.
right? So you hear in the Four Horsemen of Meaning talk, Bishop Barron says the church flattened out. It's like,
Okay.
yes, it did, but it's not the church that flattened. See, that's one of the problems. If you're a bishop and you're Catholic and you're hanging out in the church, you're looking at everything from the lens of
Right,
the
right,
church, and
right.
you're going, well, this is what happened to the church. No, that's not what happened. What happened is the society flattened everything out
Okay.
as the result of the materialist worldview.
Right.
Now, when
Flatland.
you
Yeah,
flatten things
flatland.
out, but when you flatten things out, and that also hits the church later, would be my argument. I don't know that that's true.
Okay.
I'm going to make a claim. I have no idea if it's true, right? But I suspect that hit the church after it already happened
Okay.
or started to happen. And then the church is more resilient, maybe. But
Yeah.
ultimately, when you're stuck in materialism, with an individualistic worldview. And if you want to be an individual, you need materialism.
Right.
If you want to be a materialist, you're going to reinforce individualism.
Okay, and
You kind of have to.
why?
Well, because what ends up happening is in a material worldview, you have to have a single identity to be material. Otherwise, you're not in the material worldview.
Oh, you're in like the concept of us.
Right.
Okay.
Right. 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 So effectively, if I want to look at a car as a car instead of as a transportation device, which might be a better, instead of the relationship, I'm looking at it as an object, as a car. But what the hell is a car, right? Peterson points this out a lot, right?
A getting me from point A to point B device.
Right. Well, he puts it even better, right? He says a car is freedom. Oh, that's exactly the car. But freedom's not an object. So a materialist
it's a car.
Can't relate to it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Now you can get them to admit that no, the utility of the car is transportation or point A, point B.
Right.
And there's lots of things that can provide transportation.
Okay.
So you can get them back into the connection part, the relationship part sometimes. But they always default back into the material. Like, well, what is the one identity that I can know this thing by so that it's a piece of material? It's like, well, but in order to do that, you have to deconstruct, right? You have to cut everything else out that isn't whatever it is you're after, right? So maybe it's a hammer. So you go, oh, this is just a hammer. Yeah, but if you use a hammer to kill somebody, is it a deadly weapon? Well, yeah, if you use it to kill somebody, but was it a deadly weapon before? These are the questions a materialist can't answer because they don't make any sense. Because to them, the hammer needs to be a hammer. It's like, no, there's no such thing as a hammer. It's
like, right. Yeah. Yeah. Like a chair is a chair. Yeah. Okay. So if we have like the aliens, you know, come and visit and they see a chair, but they don't have a sitting position.
Right.
It's like,
they're
that's,
not going to know what it
that's
is.
That's a nothing. Like that's.
Exactly. It doesn't exist because
they
can't
relate
to it.
That's a piece of art.
Right. So imagine you're sitting in a material worldview as an individual, because again, you have to identify yourself. Where am I in the material? Oh, well, I'm an individual in relation to the car. I'm an individual in relation to the house. I'm an individual in relation to other individuals, right? There's no relationship there. You're just stating the containers.
Okay.
Right. So, but it puts you in the world. So if you're a materialist, to put yourself in the world, you have to be an individual. But to be an individual, you have to cut all the connections that you have with other things.
So
at the same time.
So okay, clearly the intimacy crisis affects, like I guess like men and women, you could say romantically, I don't know if I'd even say the most, because I do think that women and women and men, they are affected.
All the relationships. Right? Because, well, intimacy isn't just about people, right? It's not people on both sides. Intimacy is about the connections that we make as such, and how wide they are and how deep they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a deep connection. So right now, literally right now, I'm looking outside.
Okay.
I my computer is purposely set up this way. I have a laptop. I can see over the screen. I'm looking at, well, the shambles of a very unkempt garden, right? But
a garden nonetheless.
But a garden nonetheless with roses. So hopefully they'll be blooming soon in a couple of months here, right? But that's part of me remaining connected with nature.
Okay.
Right? Which opposed to other people who have offices, you know, where they spend most of my time here, unfortunately, right? I spend most of the time in front of my computer where they can't see the outside.
Yeah.
Like I have always made sure there's a window next to or in front of, you know, or behind rather my monitor so that I can see outside when I'm on the computer, because I need to be able to do this, to look outside, ignore all this crazy technology because
right.
I have way too much of it, right? In order to refresh my brain and figure out what's going on and reconnect with the nature, right?
Okay.
Reconnect with the nature, because that's part of it. Like this is where the climate people aren't all crazy. They do have a point. The point is we're disconnected from nature.
Right.
We're doing things to nature without accounting for it. That's the intimacy crisis, due to a lack of intimacy with nature, because we separated ourselves in our houses with our heat and cooling systems, you know, by having attached garages, because you don't have to go outside. You know, many people have to go outside to get in their car, you know, so now they don't understand the cold. They don't understand the fury. They don't understand understand the signal, the contrast of
Well,
nature. Nature
even
goes
death and us going
unfold.
back to nature,
Right.
right? Like, we don't see that connection of that cycle.
So why are we moving back to nature? Because we know, say subconsciously or unconsciously, we know that there's intimacy to be had there. But
Right.
we don't know how to interface it.
Okay.
So the climate people, one way to see the climate movement is to say they're trying to re-enchant the world with climate as a way of gaining intimacy, because I think that the space where intimacy lives technically is the space of enchantment. And it's not that enchantment's not there. It's not technically, we don't have to re-enchant the world. The world's already enchanted. We just can't see it. That's a different
We
problem
need
in
the
some sense.
scales to fall from our eyes.
Exactly. Right. So you don't need to ingest a psychedelic, as Peterson and Verveke and others might have you believe, to experience enchantment. You can just experience enchantment without the chemical mediator. There's
Right.
no reason for that thing in the middle at all. And that's safer for you, by the way, which is pretty much what all the research says. So I don't know why people keep arguing against
Well,
the
it's easy.
alternative,
It's
but
a quick fix, literally.
they want
So,
control. Yeah,
yeah.
they want control.
Well,
Like,
they
oh,
don't
I
want to
can
do the
take.
work. They don't want to do the work, right? So.
Yeah, and they don't want to do the work. Yeah. There's a wonderful, wonderful thing I heard. I forget where I heard it, but this guy told the story. He said basically, the problem with we'll say trying to have a profound experience with drugs is it's much like taking a helicopter to a mountaintop. You need the helicopter to get there. You can't climb it on your own. So now you're dependent on something else, which is always
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you want to take drugs? Because you're just going to be dependent upon that to have an experience that I can have without drugs. And
And that is
I
more
don't know.
meaningful and is sort of what we've been structured for, that
Right. Well, it's
journey.
more me.
Yeah.
It's more me if it's not me and drugs,
Yeah.
obviously,
Me and
right? I'm
drugs, like
not.
we're a good little pair. We enjoy our time together.
It's a more intimate connection with the profound experience because it's not deluded in both senses of the word, the chemical sense of dilution, and deluded as in you're deluding yourself, you're fooling yourself, right? It's neither, right? It's the actual experience. Now it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of concentration, right? It takes all these things, it takes time, energy, and attention. But that's what the journey is builds the experience, builds the intimate connection. And either we're afraid of intimate connections, which we should be, because we don't have a way to navigate them anymore, because we're not looking, we don't even understand that they're there. In a sense, we're pretending like they're not there. We're standing in what I like to call objective material reality, or trying to. So when Jonathan
We tell
Peugeot says,
ourselves that.
right, well, when Jonathan Peugeot says to people, where are you standing? That's where they're standing. Now, that isn't a place you can stand, granted, like you don't, it doesn't
It's what we
exist.
think. We are very good at deceiving ourselves.
Very good at deluding or deceiving
Yeah.
or bullshitting ourselves,
Yeah, because we're so smart.
yeah, well, we've been told we're smart.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, we've been told we're smart and we're not that smart. We've been told we know ourselves and we don't, right? We've been told all of these things, and that's why I think so. John Vervaeke's meditation series, one thing I really like about it is you instantly get a sense for how little you know about what's going on in your head when you sit and meditate. And it doesn't have to be Vervaeke's meditation; it can be any
Yeah,
meditation,
yeah.
but. And it can be frightening, which is why you should do it in a group with a Sangha. That's what we did, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, because what you're doing is you're returning intimacy, you're returning intimacy to yourself, in relation to yourself, because you're starting to understand things that are going on in your head that you didn't see before, you weren't aware of, you're just not aware of, right?
Okay.
So in one sense, we're hunting to intimacy, we're trying to get into relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship. Right, that's kind of like a being mode addiction in
Yeah,
my mind,
yeah.
right? You're trying to be in love all the time, not just by having sex, that would be a having mode addiction,
Yeah.
but by falling in love over and over and over again. It's an addiction, and like, fair enough, it's a pretty powerful addiction, right? But you don't want to go all the way because you know, A, the ride's going to end anyway, and that's going to be painful one way or another. So do you want to control it and just cut it off? Sounds good to me,
Yeah.
right? I've done that. I would never do that, but some people
I
seem to
no.
want to do that. They want a ghost, right?
Yeah.
And like, fair enough. But also it's scary because if it keeps going, right, it won't have the same,
Well,
flourish, right?
the infatuation phase is a
Right.
phase.
It
So,
wears off. But now you'll have to deal with the intimacy as such, right? The longer term
Mm.
aspect, deep intimacy, right? Depth of intimacy comes over time, right?
Right.
Not that it only comes over time, but it primarily comes over time. And that's when you really get to wrestle with the person, like, oh, well, you know, I've been with this person a couple of years now, so I know not to step here, right? Or I know when to step here, like when it's not okay to bring this up and when it is okay to bring this up and what time of day even, right? Or what time of week or, right? There's all these subtleties because time is a strange thing. It's a really strange thing because maybe, you know, I kind of like Peterson talks about, you know, when my wife and I get in an argument, we right away deal with it. I kind of like that. On the other hand, I can see room for, you know what, we're gonna put this away for a while. We're gonna revisit this in 3 days, right? Or on the weekend, or you know, when we're outside. So, because one of the tricks I've used in the past, which is very effective, is when you're having an argument with somebody, or you need to have a difficult discussion with them, you can both of you can go to a neutral space. So I'm not going to your house to have this discussion, and you're not coming to my house to have this discussion. And we're not even going, you know, maybe we're going to a relative's house, right? Because this is the role, right? In the past, you'd go to the matriarch or the patriarch and you'd ask, right? You need to settle this dispute for us.
Right,
why?
Because
you're not trying to settle the dispute in an uneven fashion on in your court or their court.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I often bring people, well, let's meet here and have a discussion. And, you know, in a neutral place, usually like out in nature or whatever, where then there's no impingement, right? There's no expectation. There's no framework for them to claim, well, I'm master of this and therefore, or you to claim, well, I'm master of this domain and therefore what I say goes, right? It puts you in a different frame so the discussion can unfold in a different manner. That's a form of enchantment, right? Where you're creating this space.
Oh, like what you're saying about the space.
Right. Right. The opening up the space is the process of enchantment, I think. Right.
Okay.
I think that's what enchantment is.
Okay. So there's two. I'm trying to decide which order. I'll let you choose. So we either can go towards, okay, so let's talk about romantic relationships with men and women, or let's talk about men and men, women and women. I mean, theoretically, friendships between men and women, but like friendships are typically the best when it's, I think, women and women, men and men. So which direction would you like to, which would be more pertinent to go first versus second? I would guess the romantic relationships, maybe. Would you want
to? Yeah, we can do
okay.
That. We can do romantic relationships. So
the state
I
that they're in
that...
nowadays, from what I've heard, because I've been married for 12 years.
Right. Good for you. Good for you.
I wasn't trying to brag, but I'm just out of it. I met my husband at a church young adults group, like one of the most traditional, modern traditional, you know, like church young adults, the spot where
a lot of
churchy people meet each other.
Right. Well, that's where to do the encounter. Right. And I think, and you're in a container, right, that where you're both
similar
aimed
values.
At values,
yeah,
and virtues,
yeah.
right, and you have an alignment, but even just being aimed at that. So when you're on a dating site, what are you aimed at?
Finding,
like, really, what are
okay,
you aimed
okay,
at?
That depends, because I mean, if heaven forbid something happened to my husband, I don't know that I would want to do a dating site, but if I did, I would be like, I am not in this for fun or whatever ridiculous reasons that people do short-term dating for. I'm or alternate universe Andrea, like, because I know how I still remember how I was when I was in my early 20s, and I wanted to be a younger mom, and I wanted to be able to have my husband and my family when I was young. And so I would have been someone who would be like, what are the more serious ones? What are the ones that you could maybe, like, you know, find a partner where you're like, hey, I'm looking for love. So, okay, are you looking for a good time, a one-night stand, a few weeks stand? Are you looking for a long-term girlfriend? Are you looking for love? Are you looking for marriage?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's so many things. So I don't know if that was your point.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's many things.
Well, those are the things you're looking for, but what are you actually aimed at? Because you're aimed at this system that's giving you a bunch of people that are describing themselves in materialist terms, like,
Yeah.
oh, here's what I have to offer, or here's what I don't have to offer. So in that live stream that you watched, right, I pointed out that there's dating profiles, and not an insignificant percentage, I think it's probably half, where women in particular are saying, I have my own house, I have a job, I have my own money, which are two separate things, which is good. It's interesting that they differentiate those two things, right? You know, and effectively, like, I don't need you for, right? And they'll list a bunch of things what they don't need, right? And then and which is interesting, because it's like, well, what are you signaling?
Do you want a friend?
Well, what would I be bringing to the table at that point, right?
Friendship,
and it's like,
companionship,
well,
support, emotional support.
Well, there's, well,
I'm just guessing.
Right, but,
I'm trying to guess. Like, what are they? What do they want
well,
in a man?
Well, I think because they're pointed at the system, because they're aimed at the dating process,
yeah.
And it's become a process, which I think is crazy, right? It's crazy. It's a material thing. Like, you turn the crank. It's a vending machine. You turn the crank, and you're supposed to get this. You put this quarter in. You hit B6. You get something out, right? You get a girlfriend or a boyfriend out, right? They're looking at it from a very mechanical, materialistic way of operating. But at that point, they're only leaving a couple of things, and then they drop the hammer and say, well, I'm not here for a one-night stand. And it's like, all right, well, now I don't know how I can relate to you anymore. Like, why would I want to, like, what would dating look like with somebody who doesn't need money, a job, like a task, right? A job is basically like a thing to occupy your time, roughly speaking, that you find meaningful, hopefully, right? You'll find some meaning in it, or you won't do it, right? Or a house. Like, if you don't need any of those things, what am I there to offer? Like, where do I fit in this picture, right? And yeah, you know, to your point, there's companionship and there's sex and there's a couple of other things, but you've really narrowed the field from what I can provide, right? So I don't have a way to get an intimate connection out of that. So it's no wonder that in the same profiles, they'll be like, no, I'm looking for something long-term, blah, 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 blah. Well, how am I going to get something long-term? And then half of them will complain, well, the last guy moved into my house and stayed there for 6 months. Well, you had a house to move into, right? The options for being with somebody are you live with them or they live with you. It's really only two options there, you know, or you both move away from the places you are and create a third place, which is fine too. But you can't live apart and be together. That
right.
doesn't work.
Right.
So there's no intimacy there. So they're cutting the intimacy off in the dating profile because the aim is wrong. Whereas if you meet as part of a group that's, you know, doing a Bible study or, you know, which I think should be called Book Club for Jesus, by the way. But anyway, you know, if you meet at a youth thing or you know, some sort of church event or at church or whatever, you're thinking in that context, the aim of that context is not dating.
Right.
It's virtues and values.
Right.
And so you already have something in a large container, that big container, in common with that person.
Yeah.
And then you can begin to negotiate, right, the connection, the intimate connection, and how it's going to work. Right. Whereas when you're focused on the material stuff, here's the material stuff I have. What are you bringing to the table? Well, maybe nothing if you've got a job, money, and a house. What am I supposed to bring? And let's suppose, because I had this happen to me too. Let's suppose all you're talking about yourself is, yeah, a little bit about your family. Oh, I grew up with this. My father is like this. And, you know, I grew up in this kind of environment, whatever. But the majority of your conversation is around your career. Like, oh, I've done this in my career, and I've done that in my career, and I've done that in my career, and I've done this in my career. Now, I don't know how it is for a woman, but a guy doesn't want to hear about a woman's career at all because there's nothing to relate to. Well, what am I going to relate to? Okay, you're a successful person in business. That's great. I'm really happy for you as a person. But I can't, like, if you're not telling me, I don't, you know, this career is wonderful and I can do anything and I'm done with that, then what? I mean, if you're going to work and I'm going to work, like, who's going to provide for the house, first off, right? Like, someone's got to cook and clean. Now that's an equal negotiation, and I don't think it should be, honestly. Like, you know, you can call me a tradster or whatever the heck, you know, ridiculous name you want to assign to it. But, you know, you're removing the possibility of specialization, which is actually one of the core theories that supports the evolution, is specialization. So you're saying, no, we don't need specialization, we're equal. No, we're not equal. We do need specialization. It makes everything more efficient. So just, if you wanted to make an efficiency claim or an evolutionary claim, specialization is required, right? It's required. So treating people like equal in that aspect doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense to call yourself, you know, I'm a believer in evolution. I believe science and evolution. Okay, then you have to buy into specialization, buddy. So the equality is out the window, because if you make things equal, evolution fails.
Okay, so I'm going to, okay, so I know you're on a roll, but I'm just going to insert, so what I'm seeing here for part of the, so it sometimes people reduce it to, well, roles, like masculine roles, yes, feminine roles, but that's actually wrong from what I'm learning about. That's a materialistic view. That's a very Protestant, actually, view of looking at, oh, role. The role
because
of...
Because you can't relate to it.
Well, the role of priest. It's like, it's not a... That's as if it's a job that anyone can do. So the role... So I don't even think the word role is proper. I think that it's embodying the feminine in the home, embodying the masculine in the home. Like embodying... Right. And that's not even really clear. Like I actually am like, it feels vague in my mouth as I say it. Like it's embodying it. It's existing.
Well, it's your participation.
It's participating.
It's your participation
in the creating of in the community of your own little mini community of the two of you. You know that you are then contributing to, is participating in the feminine, making a place a home. You know, like that sort of breathing that life into it. But, you know, right? The creating
enchanting
life.
It.
That's what
enchanting
the feminine is.
Breath.
You literally create life. And then the masculine of like bringing from the outside to the table. And it's not saying that women can't work. Work for an income outside of the home. But what it is saying is...
The type of work they do is different.
It is
though.
Different.
See,
and that's okay.
Thing.
And it's not less than... It's not less than. That is the problem as well. Because we do use masculine measuring tape. Well, do you receive money for your exchange of service? Well, we're only going to give you high praise one day a year called Mother's Day. And say that your job is so important. And then that will pass. And then all the ladies who aren't mothers will feel, okay, so what... Is that it though? I'm not a mother and I don't even get that. You know? So
well, it guilts them.
Right. Yeah. I think that like women want to have all of those boxes ticked of I don't need this, I don't need that. Cause okay, like what if you are coming from a place where, well, you might die. Like my spouse might die. Like my father passed away when I was 10 months old. My sister and I, like, we were 10 months old. We're twins. And so my mom was left with the two of us. And so I actually, like, get that. Well, I want to be able to be capable to... I don't want to be completely, devastated in all aspects. I will be emotionally devastated.
Right.
But then with the functional aspect... Now, this is where the community would have come in to support. But we live, fact is, we live in an individualistic world where you can't rely on others at, like, you can for a time. But you have to be able to, how do I pay the bills? And how do I deal with the car? And how do I get that stupid thing on the phone that my husband usually is the one who dealt with? You know, whatever. You know, like I feel anxiety about things that I haven't figured out how to do that. Usually my husband deals with. My husband doesn't really know how to cook. You know, like there again, it's not to say that you can't like dip into the feminine and learn how to cook. You know, look at like the top chefs in the world are men. So it's not like you
Right.
It's not like it has to be a feminine
Right. It's
thing,
not a, it's
but
not exclusive
no,
at
and it's
all.
not.
But
But I don't know the degree to which we should learn those other. I don't. Well, I say it's roles, but it's not role, participating. I don't know because
participation, right.
I do feel like that sort of anxiety, like that these women are like, oh, I have it all ticked off. At least, like I have that all ready, so I'm not. Don't have. I'm not anxious about that. But I am anxious about not having a partner. So like those women have that
Right.
all figured out. For me, I
Right.
have the. Well, I've let a lot. My husband do a lot in the sense of I haven't been like, hey, let me learn all of the things you do so that I can be in case you die. Cause like I need to be able to handle doing those things on my
Yeah.
own. So I don't know how to balance
Right.
that. Cause I have relatives who are divorced and like are ladies and they need to know how to change the windshield washer fluid, you know, in their.
Right,
That's a little
right, right.
thing, but like know how to.
No, it's a big thing. It's a lot of little
It is,
things, and so
yeah, or
it becomes a
yeah.
big
How
thing.
to fix their computer when
Right.
it like you know when typically it'd be the guy would be tinkering with the stuff, you know, things like that.
Right,
So I don't know how
right.
to balance that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm turning this into a
Right. So
self-help situation.
no, that's good. I like that you brought it back to participation because if you look at what's happening on the dating websites and such not, when you say you have a career, you're using a masculine terminology to talk about who and what you are. So you're, you know, and then what you're doing, you know, without realizing it, right? These are messages, these are signals that are getting sent and they're getting received and they're getting interpreted. And so you think that what you're doing is putting yourself in a solid position to say, ha, I don't need you, which you are, but also there's no intimacy there. There can't be. Like if you don't need me, there's no reason for me to be to get intimate. Like there's no reason for me to get connected at all, much less deeply connected. But you're also setting up a competition. Right? Because now you're in my space with a career. Oh, you're the one with the career. I thought I had the career. And you know what I mean?
But you
So
wouldn't ask them to
it.
give up their career though if you did say meet in a maybe older fashioned like you know church group
No, but
or hobby group or
you
whatever.
wouldn't have to. You wouldn't have to. See, this is the problem. If you meet in a church group, you're aimed at values and virtues.
Yeah.
You're not aimed at material things, right? And this is, and look, there's a tension that gets set up here because eventually, right, if you meet in that environment, eventually it comes down to, well, who's gonna work, right? And that could go either
And these are things
way,
that people do.
right?
Like they do need to, if you're a couple that doesn't have kids, then it's sort of like, well, who does the house chores? Like that's, you know, but if you have kids, 100%, yes. But so it isn't that like you're so, because I'm just thinking of if someone was uncharitably interpreting what you're saying. You're not saying so women don't work, don't have careers. You're not
No, no,
saying
no, no,
that, just to
no.
be
But
clear.
there's a conflict. There's a conflict that gets set up when the woman has a career and the man has a career, and they both conceive of what they're doing for, we'll say, work fulfillment as career, because now there's a competition, right? And this competition was set up, you know, decades ago, actually. There used to be articles about, well, what is the value of what a woman does, a stay-at-home mom does, right? And you know, back then, the number I have in my head, I don't know if it's right, was $120,000 a year, which was way over the average salary, by the way. It was way
I mean,
over. It's like three
it's
times
over
the average
the, I
salary.
don't know, average salary here. Oh, okay. It's still
Right.
high. It
And
sounds high to me. Yeah.
this was years, decades
Yeah.
ago, when that was way more
Oh, that was
money,
like a business,
right?
like $500,000 for like decades ago then, or 300,000 or something like that, with inflation. Yeah.
So basically, that was a contest that was set up. That was a competition that was set up between, well, what's more valuable, the stay-at-home mom or the guy who works? It's
Right,
like
right.
dumb formulation.
Right.
They're making something bigger than the two of them, right? Which is the relationship, the container of the relationship, which is what you're subservient to, or should be subservient to in a relationship. That's what provides the space for the intimacy, because it's not about just the connection between me and my wife. Right, or me and my girlfriend. It's about what potential can manifest as the result of that connection. And that keeps it together because then it's not a tension between the two of us, right? Because there's something bigger trying to emerge there. Maybe it's kids, hopefully, right? Or maybe it's not, but it doesn't matter. It's a lasting relationship that's bigger than the two people in it. And that's the only way for that to happen is for a potential to exist. You can't take two things in material reality, put them together, and have something emerge. You need a potential for them to emerge into something bigger.
Right.
Right? If the whole can be greater than the sum of the parts, where is that happening? That's enchantment. When you realize, oh, you don't just take A and B and put them together and get A plus B. You get C, which is bigger than the two things.
We're missing the bigger. Okay, that's the space. That's the... Okay.
Right.
So what is... So it seems like there's a sort of participation confusion, a competition of what is better, what is more important.
It's been flat.
It's been, right. Okay, so that's what, when I said adding layers, that's why you pushed back. Like, oh, no, it's not layer. It's...
We're reducing layers. We're reducing complexity. We're reducing everything into one.
It is making it cloudy. But it is making it cloudy. It's not clear.
Yes.
It's not clear.
Well, it's not clear because there's no boundaries. And when you reduce things, now you have competition. When you put the layers back in, now there's cooperation because there's no overlap.
Right. Okay. So the cooperation, you saying cooperation, that's a good thing with regards to men and women. So, okay. I want to say, so what's the solution? And I don't know if that's a fair question.
Well, we can try, right? I mean, it's not fair in that I'm sure I can't actually answer, but I might be able to give some context and maybe some things that might turn into answers, right? So re-enchantment's important, right? The realization that the world is not material and that looking at the world as material is dangerous. It actually hurts you. It hurts you mentally because you're doing things like cutting off relationships before they're born, really, right? You're trying to say, well, I want all the rush of the new relationship and none of the pain of actually going through a relationship through time. Well, you can only do that so long because, you know, I mean, eventually we get old and infirm and we can't keep playing that game.
Yeah.
Right. And the time when you need, like, you need to bank the experience, right? And the reciprocal, you know, the back and forth, the I did this for you, you did this for me thing, and get into that pattern long before you become to the point where you need somebody to take care of you, because then your only option is to pay them. That's your only option, right? And that's terrible. That's what the intimacy does, is it builds this deep affordance for the two people to connect in a way that affords for future, for the potential in the future, right? Like, that's what you're doing. You're saving up, right? Goodwill or agency, or however you want to frame it, for the future. Like, when I'm sick, you're taking care of me. When you're sick, I'm taking care of you, right? And plus, it gets you into that habit of, oh, there's times I have to sacrifice. Right? Because intimacy is the thing you sacrifice for. You don't sacrifice for anything else. Because you don't sacrifice for things. You sacrifice for your relationship to them. So if your relationship to money, like if you're greedy, your relationship to money is you'll sacrifice your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your friends to make more money. You're not connected to the money. You're connected to the relationship to the money. That's what you're sacrificing to. You're not sacrificing to the money. You're sacrificing to that relationship.
Because money doesn't exist apart from the relationship that you have to it in your mind, and everyone
exactly.
Has. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so all you're really doing is privileging that relationship to the other relationships,
right?
Instead of harmonizing those relationships and saying, wait a minute, because in materiality everything's flat, so there's no clear.
How do we inflate it?
Well, that's enchantment. But if you're a materialist, why would you privilege a connection with your children or your wife, which are future connections, right? Not just current, but future connections, over the connection with money? That's just not clear to me how you would do the math, how you would do the calculation, how, right? Because we're not facing the world with intuition, which is a different type of knowledge, right? It's a different type of knowledge. So there's a way of knowing the world in your participation with it, where you're aware of the fact that the world is not material, that the material is less important than the relationship to it.
People know that to an extent, because people do love their kids. Not everyone's a greedy, like, screw.
No,
right?
Most people aren't. Most people
Right.
aren't.
So you were feeling around, like you were saying, like oh, we're kind of blind men, blind leading the blind in a way.
Right, because we're not looking at the relationships. We're paying attention to the material.
And then yeah, and they're like, but I really love my son. So yeah,
Yes,
it's like, but
for
it's there.
real.
People know it's there. They know it's there. It's just, or I really love my spouse. I really, you know.
But they can't prioritize it because again, there's no
Well, they
math,
don't know
there's no
why they
material.
prioritize it. They might not know why. They might have it high,
Well, they might. Oh, that's fair. That's
but they
fair.
don't
They
know
right.
why. Because,
They
just
couldn't explain.
because.
Right. And that's the problem when you get into this habit of explaining things rather than asserting things, because sometimes you have to, I do this all the time on the Discord server. I say, no, this is definitely this way. We're definitely starting here, right? Because you have to have a starting
Right.
point. You can't get out of that dogmatic way of relating. Religious, not religious, doesn't matter. Dogma is everywhere. You have to have a starting point. Maybe you adjust the starting point later,
Right.
but you've got to start somewhere. Like, and this is why so many people don't get out of their mother's basements, because they don't want to be tyrannized by starting somewhere and having it be wrong.
Right. Okay.
Because everywhere you start is wrong. And if you don't want to be wrong, you'll never start. Fair enough.
Right.
But you have to start. Otherwise you don't build these deep, intimate relationships.
Okay, but so wait, so adding the layer, adding back the depth.
Reenchantment.
Okay, so how do we re-enter it? How do we?
Yeah, how do we reenchant? Well, we recognize that a hammer is not a hammer,
So the material is
right?
not what this
Is
is
not the
what
thing.
Paul was talking about when he did when he looked at the Joe Rogan and Peterson. He kind of pulled this out of what they were saying. I think about okay, we're oh no, even Peterson was just directly saying this, I think. Like, we are not these objective third-party observers. Even the third-party
Right.
observer is subjective and has a
Right.
lens that they are viewing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the observer problem in physics. So it's in physics, guys, it's in physics that you can't do this. Relativity, Einstein's relativity, you can't do this. You cannot sit in a third party objective space. Objective material reality is not a space you
And
can occupy,
understand, so
right?
understand, so actually, if more people start seeing, oh, I'm actually very subjective and it's not bad. It just is.
Right.
That's
It just
okay.
is.
It's okay to be not objective. And of course, we can do our
Right.
best. I mean, I'm really glad that there are doctors, surgeons, you know, people, specialists who through this science that we've been like, oh, we can be objective. Like, that has brought a lot of good. So I don't want to pretend like that sort of lens has all been bad.
Well, they can be a part.
It's
They can be a
part of the
part.
life, you
And
know,
that's
because they're
really
not
what it
always
is.
object. Like, there are people that go home and then have their own subjective viewpoints, but then go back and use the science that was done through the thought of the objective and objective
Right,
lens
but
and whatever.
they're not objective, but that's okay. What they are is they're an impartial observer.
Yeah, so it's not that they are were ever objective, like I understand, but they think like
Right.
people from the
Right.
Enlightenment thought that like, oh, look at we're creating science because we can be objective. Like, well, they thought they were. They weren't. But
Maybe.
from
Or
that
maybe we
perspective, they
right.
kind of, well, look at
Or maybe
science, look at modern technology.
interpreted what they did that way,
I'm looking back.
right?
I'm very much interpreting what they did. But no one has
Yeah,
ever
yeah.
been objective except for God, I'm gonna say, above.
Yep, that's the
God's
only
point of view.
possible way to fix the observer
Right, it
problem.
is. It really is.
Ironically.
So,
Right. But that's why you need reenchantment. You need to realize that the objects aren't the things that you're moved by. You're
the
not
Tinder
moved by the
profiles.
hammer.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going back to like the just the romantic side of this is why there's no romance in Tinder profiles because they're just listing materialistic
Right.
things. So what's the but people
Right.
aren't meeting people. And
Yeah, they
these
are.
apps came not out of a vacuum. Like, they are being used because people are like, yes, I don't have anyone,
Well,
please. Well, it
Tinder is
doesn't
sort
have
of
to
the
be
worst
Tinder,
possible.
but whatever.
No, Tinder's a really good example. Tinder's the worst possible aim,
Okay.
right? Tinder, because the whole premise of Tinder is you look at some, and this is they're
We haven't even talked
describing
about the
enchantment.
faces. We haven't even talked about
But
the picture before
they
you read
don't
the
what
profile.
Right, but they don't even realize it, but they're talking about enchantment first. Like Tinder, the premise of Tinder is you decide based on looking at somebody alone whether or not you're interested, whether or not there's chemistry, and that happens within the first few seconds. That's the premise of the application. That's why it was written the way it was written. That's the driver. So the driver is there's a magical enchantment that happens when you see a face, and that tells you the right answer about whether or not to pursue the relationship. That's what they're saying. And nobody realizes that. They think they're using science and the science of psychology or something to magically gin, but that's not what's happening. And then when you go in there, they have some of the profiles you can do information on, and it expands, and maybe they put a few words about themselves or whatever, right? But that's like the worst possible way to look at it. And yet, Tinder doesn't fall into the sort of, sex only sort of, raucous Dionysian app that you would expect, despite that fact, which is interesting, because there's still enchantment in the world, but you don't see it. It's not that you're not acting enchanted. It's that you're not seeing that you're acting enchanted. You're pretending that you're living in this objective material reality, and pretending that the relationships are your individual relationship to individual objects. But that's not how you act in the
Right, well,
world.
because the person is not an object, they are a subject.
They're not an object, right? They don't have an, like, I don't have an identity. I have lots of identities based on which arena I'm in, right? You have lots of identities, right? You're a wife, you're a mother, right? You're a sister, you're on and on and on, right? We could just go on forever. And it's our unwillingness to admit that, because we want to be individuals. Well, if you want to be an individual, you have to have a single identity to be an individual. You can't have a single identity in the world. It's not
So,
gonna
okay, so is
work.
the
You are different in
well, is the
relation.
answer no more dating apps? Because that's just, again, they're kind of symptoms.
No, I don't. I think if you're looking at relationships, because some dating profiles have this. Well, I'm looking for somebody who will, spend time with me, who I can, go to the lake with, or
Have
go to the beach
deep
with.
discussions into the night and
Exactly, right. Or long walks on the beach, or trips to the
Is that better?
mountain,
That
or
is better
whatever.
than those sorts of the apps that sort of be
Absolutely.
like prompt the questions to be answered like that?
Yeah, of course, because you're pointing at the relationship. I want to walk on the beach. I want to go on vacation with. I want to spend time at the lake with, right? And it's very time oriented. It's not based on, well, I'm not. Well, it's the other thing that these other profiles are identifying against, right? Which is always bad. I'm not looking for somebody to impress me with their job, with their career, with their money, with their house, because I have all those things. It's like, okay, but how am I to relate to you? I can relate to somebody who wants to walk on the beach. That's easy. I either go, I don't like to walk on the beach because sand, right? Or sand fleas or whatever. You can go, oh, that sounds interesting. Like, I don't know what it's like to walk on the beach. Or you can go, I love walks on the beach. There's three options there. There's no options to, well, I have my house and I have my car and I have my money and I have my career. Okay.
What do you want from
How do
me?
I
What do
relate?
you, How do I, You're not saying those are bad.
Where
I just don't, starting point. I don't know what to do with that.
do I fit in? Or I have my career. My career is wonderful and I'm doing all these wonderful things and I'm helping all these people. Well, that's great. How do I relate to that? Like, how do I fit into your career? I can't fit into your career. I can't fit into your career. And I should try. Like, your career is yours. That's great. And maybe a decision has to be made down the road. Like, well, if you do you want babies? Do you want me to raise them or do you want you to raise them, right? Like, careers are important. Sure. But way before that happens, you have to form an intimate connection. If you start at career, you're just putting up a roadblock for connection, for intimacy,
Okay, well, you're going from
for
the man to the woman, because for me, like, again, because Paul Vanderclay has talked about like asking his wife, like, if something happened to me, honey, Lord, heaven forbid, and about the starting salary that his wife would be like happy with to me. So I actually like for me, I would be like, okay, you live in your parents' basement. If it's not because your place is flooded and you're getting it renovated, red flag, thanks. Like the career actually. It isn't a deal
What
breaker.
can
Like, I mean, if someone's like a lawyer, okay, cool.
what can he
That's
offer?
one part of like, okay, that's nice. That's nice that you have a steady job. job. I wouldn't be like, oh,
Right.
you make lots of money, so then I want to be with you. But it's like, okay, checked off. Like you've got at least you're pushing towards something. You've got a goal.
Well, there's no competency signal,
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah,
If
yeah.
somebody's in the basement, they might be the most valuable
But
person ever to
they're
you.
not
They
running
might,
towards.
but it doesn't look that
Yeah,
way.
so
There's no signal that would indicate
for
that,
women,
right?
I would say that from the feminine perspective, you would look at career as part of the thing that you're,
Got to look at
yeah,
something.
so.
Well, what did you do? If you grew up in your parents' house and you're still in your parents' house, where's the contrast to know what you're capable
Right.
of?
No, those are, yeah. But I understand for why men, with regards to careers for women, that would be like, well, I don't know what to do with that, because it is a new thing.
Well, and I can't relate to it. All I can do is compete with
But
it.
I'm not gonna look
I
to
can't
relate to
connect with it.
the career either, you know? Like from the feminine side, I'm not gonna be like, how do I fit in with your career? Like, well, unless it's gonna be taking you away from off hours.
Right.
I'd say that's both, that is both ways. But I do want to move actually over to the male female female relationships, in the sense that it seems like, I don't want to just say media, because it's not just media. Media perpetuates it. Our culture, our Western culture, seems to it can't a cl like close male and close female relationships represent, you know where I'm going with this, represented. There's always a sort of sexual overtone, undertone, or
Right.
just
Right.
legit just tone. Like it is. Oh, so
Right.
they're
Right.
lesbians, so they have
No,
to be
no.
lesbians. They're gay.
Right. Well,
Sam and Frodo, you can definitely read that, homoerotic.
it's suspicious.
You know, and I say, well,
Right.
wait, can't we just
It's
have,
suspicious.
can't men and women have deep bonds that are not sexual? We have an understanding of intimacy that is, well, like what you were
Right.
saying, it's this deep. It's th oh, sex,
Right.
okay?
Exactly.
All right.
There's no contrast in the idea of intimacy, in the depth, we'll say, in the depth, such that we can say, oh, no. There's different levels of relationships that you can have around you, not just with other people, but also with other people, where it's like, oh, so it doesn't have to be totally deep. So another way to look at it is to say, look, there's a loss of intimacy. And so when we see a relationship, we assume maximum intimacy because you can't do away with it. Like you can't ignore intimacy. It's there. It's a reality, right? And so if you're not looking at it, you're just gonna not see it correctly. You're either gonna see zero connection, in which case you can ghost people, or you're gonna see maximum connection, in which case there's a sexual component to it, a deep sexual component, probably a corrupt sexual component, right? Because you're only seeing the extreme ends because you don't have a way to navigate intimacy because you're stuck in materialism.
Right. Oh, so hence the one layer, and
Right.
not being able to, 'cause the reason why actually this has been like coming up for me. Well, I mean, the Frodo Sam thing has always been since I knew about Lord of the Rings, but there's this series called Wheel of Time. Have you heard? It's on Amazon,
Yes.
and there's a
I saw
okay.
it.
So and I watched it, and I chatted with one of the guys from the Discord named Flight. He has read all the books, and so I hadn't read the books, and so I wanted to discuss it with him. And he actually decided, I don't think he's gonna watch it. There's a lot of disparities, and I wanted to talk with him about it. And I didn't even know. See, I didn't know this. So the main gal has a deep friendship with one of the women who is in a seat of power in her order, and they made
Right.
her have like a lesbian relationship with her, like an intimate relationship, like a sexual relationship. She's in a relationship. I'm listing all of the things. It's she's
Yeah.
in she's they're a couple, a secret couple. But there, and it's like,
Right.
oh, we don't know how to show a deep, loyal connection between women. So, because you're kind of, the way that's presented is like, uh-oh, well, is the lady in power who gonna see her way? But the only way to show that she is on her side, actually, she's had to put on the show. Oh, they're a couple. Okay. Oh,
Right.
that's oh, so I guess
Well,
it's a cheap, quick way, but it's like,
right.
okay, yeah, I guess that's a hack you can do. But like, can we not
Well, it's
have
the only way
close
they can do
feminine
it.
relationships in media, in the world?
Well, it's the only way they can do it. In materialism, you have to point to a thing, right? Like, guess what it is? It's thingness. Like, oh, things, everything's a thing. It's like, well,
But why
you
is
know,
close
I
friends
don't know
not a
about
thing?
that.
Why is close,
Well,
like, sister friends?
because you can't point to the action, right? But with a lesbian relationship, you can point to the sex.
It's so dumb.
So,
It's but it
right.
makes me feel like you think we're so dumb. You think that the audience are big dummies.
No, they're not even aware. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, they don't understand intimacy at all. The writers don't understand intimacy. And so they're like, well, how do we explain this to an audience? And it's not that they're trying to explain it to you. It's that they don't understand it themselves. So they're not qualified to explain it,
But they
right?
changed it
So when
though. They
they're
did, like, they saw it in the books
they
and
had
then they
to.
changed it.
They had to. Well, because they didn't understand it. They said, well, this doesn't make any sense. How do we communicate that this woman, and I like that you brought up loyalty, because that's actually an element of connectedness, right? Like, that's an important element of connectedness. Type of intimacy is loyalty, type of intimacy, right? So how do we explain loyalty when we don't have the word loyalty in our heads? Like, the people who wrote that series, I guarantee you, don't understand the concepts I'm
Okay, so
discussing.
ghost, like,
If
ghosting
you
is
said
against
loyalty
loyalty,
to
for
them,
example. Yeah, so like that.
the only way for them to express loyalty in the world is in a materialistic fashion. And the only reason you'd be loyal to someone is because you're getting something out of it. And the only thing you can get out of a relationship in the material world is sex. What else would you get out of it? There's no other way to express that. Now, there are other attempts to express it that we'll say aren't sexual, right? So the relationship between her and the guy there that protects her, her protector, roughly speaking, right? That's a deep, right? And they're still experimenting with the sexual tension there, right? And they're
Oh, I
playing with it.
suppose, yeah, the fact that
And
they weren't so I think it's called a warder. So like they don't
yeah, war.
have a relationship that's sexual, but it is deep. So I suppose they left that one in a
Right,
way to kind of be different from what we would expect. Oh, they must have a romantic relationship. Oh no, they don't. Weird. Oh, but they so they did. They're
yeah,
like,
they're
we already
flipping it.
stretched enough. We can't stretch anymore.
Right. Well, they're just flipping it, like Peugeot talks about flipping it, right? And I think that's, it's part of the problem is you can't escape things. Like, I like how Peugeot says, the woman's the neck, right? If the man is the head, and she determines which way you're looking, right? You're pointing in a direction. So he's taking his direction from her as the warder, right? And then the way they get around the loyalty problem is they just talk about this as an oath, right? Oh, we swear an oath and then we pick somebody through magic, roughly speaking, right? They don't explain it,
They say it
right?
like it
And then,
can't be explained, it's so deep, and we don't understand it. Like, we people don't get
right.
it.
They're
They're trying,
tipping their
like, well,
hat.
not they,
The
the book
writers,
series was trying to
well, the
explain.
writers themselves also don't understand it. And so they're not, because you can't tie it to materiality, they're just flat out stating. Because look, enchantment is there. You can't avoid it, right? You can only emphasize it at the end of the day. Because what is the world if it's mechanical? It's nothing. No one cares. We only care about the world when it's a miracle, when there are miracles in it. When there's potential. When there's potential in the world, we care about it. That's what the meaning crisis is. When there's no potential in the world, there's no meaning in the world. There can't be.
So hence the going hearkening back to the feminine space that's missing, you were saying.
Right.
So okay, so I asked you about the solution for the romantic side of the things, but what about the for the like masculine, feminine, feminine friendships? And I know it's enchantment, but
Right.
it must be a little different.
Well, we have to look at values and virtues again, and we have to understand that those are what's driving us, and those are what should drive us. And because they're driving us, and they are driving you, whether you realize it or not, right? We need to look at them and take them seriously and discuss them. And now this strays into philosophy, roughly speaking, right? But it doesn't have to, right? But you have to acknowledge virtues and values and come at them forthrightly in order to manage them. Otherwise, they will manage you and you'll end up someplace you don't expect. And so, having a concept of loyalty, having a concept of what will be another one, devotion, having a concept of conviction, right?
Well,
Having
beauty
a
is a
concept of
virtue,
honesty.
right? That's a virtue that one even in it.
Right. Right. Well, being able to understand the beauty in
Right.
someone is really important, right?
Right,
Because
from
otherwise,
a not from a consumer
potential.
perspective, because you're not consuming their, like, regardless,
Can't
yeah,
beauty.
on the romantic
Right.
sexual partner side of things, there is a consumption aspect, which can be appropriate, obviously, in marriage and whatever, like in a healthy relationship, that isn't appropriate to an extent at certain times. You can't be consuming all the time each other, then you just
Right,
have chaos.
right.
But from the, Verveke says this in his Agape speech that Paul Van Dyk has played many a time, which is why I've watched it so many times. But it is brilliant. But like you, the true friend, you don't want to consume anything of that other person. You are
Right,
just
right.
participating
Right.
Together
Well,
alongside one another with
in
these
material,
virtues.
right. In materialism, you can only consume.
Right.
So they talk about consumerist culture. Consumerist culture is not consumerist culture. It's the result of
Right.
materialism because you can only consume material. That's the only way to make it valuable. And so, but that's not the only value in the world. That's where people get confused,
Right.
right? When you're a materialist, the only value in the world is material, and the only way to get that value is to consume it. And this goes back into the power narrative and everything else. The only way to get power is to take it from somebody else. It's silly. No. That's completely backwards. That's you have power and you give it up. And once you realize that, then right, then we're back into cooperation. How do you cooperate with people? Cooperation is a function of
Right.
intimacy. You can have deep cooperation, and if you have the less cooperation you have, the more competition you
This
have.
is so maddening because even though we're talking about this for, I don't know, maybe coming up on almost like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I still, like, I'm just monitoring my internal, like, comprehension, and I'm like, I am still, like, we're just, like, barely scratching the surface of this. This is so big. Like I know that
It's a
this
big
happens a
topic.
lot when I have conversations with people because it's usually stuff that's like, oh, it is not solved. It just kind of discussed. We just discussed it, which is fine. But
Right.
this particular thing, I am like, it's I'm still as confused even though we discussed. But it's not bad. It's Oh, I'm learning how much there is. You almost need to discuss the
Yes.
problem to sort of understand its scope. This is why I knew I didn't have to write
Yes,
anything down,
exactly.
because I'm like, I know it's
Right.
big. We'll see what we talk about. And now that we have talked, I'm like, oh, this is huge. And like, I maybe went in too many directions because it's like, okay, so you have to like almost have like a one chat about the partnering off side of things. I don't want to just say romantic because it's more than romance. The partner side, like together, working together, and even that is like man and wife,
Right.
marriage. But people don't like marriage. But like coupling off, whatever. That's its own, like, its own
Right.
huge thing. Friendships and how we work with others of our own sex. That's its own
Right.
thing. Oh, interworkings
Yeah.
of men and women in a non-romantic. That's it. Like, it's all so
Right.
big, Mark, and it's all like, and that's
Yeah.
within the intimacy crisis, within the umbrella of the meaning.
Yep.
Like, it's just so, I feel very lost right now. But I can
Yeah, well,
point
and
to
not
that
only
I feel
that.
lost as opposed to I don't even think about it. I mean, I do think about it,
Right.
but
But and
honed in.
it's also nature. Like, because we need to restore our intimacy with nature. That's what the
Right,
climate
that's that
movement
part of
is.
it.
The
Right, I
climate
forgot that you
movement
brought even that up. Okay, yeah,
is
so there's the,
right.
add that one to the list. So.
Right. There's so many aspects to the intimacy crisis, which again, I mean, I think the intimacy crisis causes the meaning
Yeah.
crisis. The meaning crisis in some
Oh, you think that it's the other way
sense.
around, do you? Okay.
Yeah, I think the intimacy crisis comes first.
Oh.
That creates the meaning crisis. And look, Kira, who really, Kira's the spark for all of this. It was a discussion with her about it over a
Okay.
year ago now, that we had, where I coined the term intimacy crisis, and she went, "Yes!" And then she went, because if you talk to a woman about the meaning crisis, they don't know what you're talking about. But if you talk to them about the intimacy crisis, this is
Bingo.
what she said.
Yeah.
Women know what that is, and they blame men. And I went, "Oh, that's interesting."
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that's appropriate, and she wasn't making a value judgment as to whether or not it's men's fault, right? Obviously, but she was pointing that out, and I went, "Wow!" And this is now, she's very intuitive, so she just like this just rolled out of her like nothing. This is amazing to me because I have to work everything out in my head because I'm a guy, right? And I'm a highly logical, rational person, so I have to go step by step on these things. She rolls out right to the end, and I went, "Oh, wow!"
Right.
Like that's a big deal. And then I started working on it. We have notes from our big famous notes file that we keep from the server, right? I have my personal notes that I'm trying to put together for maybe videos in the future, right? So this is really helpful, this talk. And that's the problem is when you talk about intimacy, you're talking about the space of enchantment. And the space of enchantment is the space of potential. And potential is theoretically infinite.
But then look at the home. And that's the thing is like, I'm not trying to be like sexist in this. It sounds, I'm just reducing it. I'm reducing it to the archetypes. So men, the masculine will even say, builds the structure and the feminine fills the structure.
Enchants
and,
it.
And
yeah.
makes it a home. And I'm thinking of like, and God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him. And I'm just like, oh, this is the encompassing of both sides that God is. I mean, obviously he's much more, but this is how, like, God is not a man. Like, Jesus was a man, but God created male and female in his image. And so there is both aspects and it's the women filling the space that's creating life. That is, it's just so, it is missing. And it makes me like, I almost want to like weep over it in a way like that it's being seen as less than and as bad and that women want to get away from it because it's like, this is so important. Like what you're saying, this whole thing. The whole thing starts, and I agree, actually, I would put the intimacy crisis before. It starts with that loss of connection, that loss of the like electricity in between space. It's alive, like and women breathing the life that we breathe. And again, I know it's the feminine, but women embody that aspect very well, can very well if you fulfill the participation aspect of it. And it's just sad that it's seen as less than because making a space that is in metaphorical or literal, like of an actual home, it works in all these ways, and giving its dignity back, that's our job.
Yes. Well, reassigning the importance back to that side, right? It's way more important. And what happens with creation, right? What does he do? He breathes life into. Well, breathing life into is fairly intimate. I think everybody can agree, whatever your definition of intimate is, breathing life into something is pretty intimate, right? Or creating life, pretty intimate, right? There's a deep intimate connection between the mother and the children, right? Because that's where they came from, like in material reality, right? And then, you know, John Vervaeke talks about agape, and I think that, you know, he sort of misses the chain of agape, we'll say. So the agape starts with the union, with the sexual union, right? And then it continues with the conception, and then it continues with the birth, and then it continues with the raising. So that, and it upgrades each time, right? So there's agape in the union, there's agape in the conception, there's agape in the birth, there's agape in the growth of the child or children throughout time, right? And that, that's the unfolding of greater and greater agape over time, right? And it matches the physical manifestation. First, there's no physical manifestation. Then there's a conception, which hopefully will turn into a physical manifestation. Then there's physical manifestation. And then that physical manifestation changes its agency as it grows up, basically, right? And then that understanding just that process and how intimate that is, and that the agape, the force of sacrificial love is the thing that makes that work.
Makes a person, then, yeah.
Right, right. And it's a participation. You're participating in the manifestation of the potential throughout time. But it's the acknowledgement of that potential that allows you to relate to it. It's the creation of that space where you can be loyal, where you can be honest. The honesty means nothing if you're by yourself.
Right.
Courage means nothing by yourself.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Loyalty means nothing by yourself. Right. Love means nothing by yourself. These things don't, you can't participate in them alone as an individual.
Okay. Right? It's a participatory. That is actually, see, because I need a little closure for like myself after saying like, I am lost in this sea of this intimacy crisis. But in a way, it's the participation is the theme that keeps coming up. I mean, obviously the enchantment you're saying,
yes.
But how do we, that's just there. That's okay. We know it's there. How do we get there? Okay. Participation,
right.
The participatory way of knowing that is how we get there. And so that would be what I would leave with this in this conversation.
Yes.
As like the thing to focus on.
Yeah, intimacy is right participation, right? Mm. And so we need participation for intimacy, and we need intimacy for participation. And we need to, like, if you don't have intimacy and you're not pointed at values and virtues, you can point at values and virtues and start to understand those relationships. Mm. Those are intimate relationships that you have that you're not aware of, right? And that will lead you to participation, and you're going to participate badly at first.
Right.
I mean, this is what happens when you date somebody.
Right.
You participate poorly with the other person until you figure out whether or not you can participate more deeply with them. So that bit, the participation builds the intimacy.
Right. No, you can't. Again, you can't cheat at it. Like you can't. Like with the drugs.
Right.
With the drugs, you can't. You can't shortcut it.
Right. You can't list a bunch of things and go bang. I have an intimate connection because this person listed these things on their profile and I listed those things on my profile. That's not going to work. It gets too materialistic.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's really the takeaway is, you know, intimacy gets fostered by participation and incorrect participation because you need context. You need to make mistakes to know how not to make mistakes, roughly speaking. Right. And then you need to understand there's things like courage and loyalty and devotion and conviction and honesty, right? All of the, and other things too, right? That you can think about, that you can relate to, that helps you to relate to nature, to relate to other people, to relate to the things around you, right? Because you may have a deep connection with something on your desk, right? Because it means something from your childhood, right? Or whatever, right? Because it's, you know, it's from a science fiction show, right? So, you know, it's something you used to watch, with your family when you're young or whatever it is, right? You want to make sure that you understand that connection. It's not a material object, you know. It's not a $10 thing I bought at the bookstore.
It's an icon. It's something that connects you to a something greater than the thing.
Well, it connects the past to the present and with a measure of the future, right? And that's the thing. You need to connect your historical grounding, where you came from, where the world came from, to who you are today to point you at the future. Mm-hmm. You have to. You don't have a choice. You're going to do that whether you realize it or not. And if you don't realize, that'll get hijacked.
Right.
And you'll end up in a religion that you don't understand, like the safety religion or the climate religion,
Ideas have people.
You'll get trapped in those ways of relating, and it won't be intimate.
Okay. So I think this is a good. I mean, obviously, there's so many more avenues that we could go down, but I think that this was a good cultivation of the soil for this topic. So I'm very pleased with this talk. Thanks for saying yes and for making the time. And I appreciate this, Mark. Thanks.
No, thank you. I've been looking for the opportunity to try to gather my thoughts and do all the work and set this up, because this is the first time I'm really talking about just the intimacy crisis. I really appreciate the opportunity. I think you were the right person to do this with.
Well, you're welcome.
Actually, so it worked out well.
Okay. And cut.